In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good deeds, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Amy. Well, each week leading up to Christmas, we're going to be looking at the songs of Christmas. I don't mean Mariah Carey. You'll be listening enough to her in the shopping centres. I'm talking about the very first ever Christmas songs, the songs about Christmas that were sung in the Bible. And also we're going to be looking at some other Christian Christmas songs, one each week as we lead up to Christmas Day and including Christmas Day. I think part of the reason there are so many songs about Christmas is because Christmas is a joyful time. And one of the things we tend to do when we're joyful is we want to sing. I want to ask you, does Christmas make you feel like singing? Does it make you feel like singing? I love talking to people who've just become a Christian and they're approaching Christmas, their first Christmas as a Christian, their first Christmas knowing and following Jesus. And I love asking them what's different, and they talk about how they've had so many great Christmases before, but this one is different. It's got more joy because they know Jesus and they trust Jesus. But maybe for you, you've been a Christian for a while, and you're honest, you know, approaching Christmas, you're just tired, and you're just distracted. And my hope and prayer as we look at these songs of Christmas each week is that you also may want to sing with joy in your hearts because of Christmas. Well, today we're looking at the first ever Christmas song that was ever sung. It's a famous one. It's been turned into many symphonies. It's often called the Magnificat. This song is the Song of Mary. It's the Song of Mary. It's a great song of joy. And it is a song you can sing too. It's a song you can sing from your heart. We're going to see in the story we just heard read, three stages, all about joy. Number one, a joyful trust. Number two, a joyful leaping. And number three, joyful singing. Number one, let's look at the first part of the story. Joyful trust. The joyful trust of this woman, Mary. You just heard it read, this angel, Gabriel, appears to Mary. And you got to know, Mary, from all accounts, was probably about 14 years old. And she's not rich, she's not famous, she's living in Nazareth, which had a really bad reputation. There's parts in the Bible where people say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's not exactly a high-standing place. She's there, and this angel appears to her and says, look at verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel says, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So this lady, this girl, Mary, is told she's going to have a baby who's going to be a savior, because that word Jesus means savior. So this baby's going to save people from their sins. This baby's going to be the Son of the Most High. In other words, this baby's going to be God. This baby's going to be a king. He's going to have a throne, it says, the throne of his father David. In the Old Testament, David was one of the greatest kings. And there was always a promise that one of David's descendants would be God's perfect king. And that's Jesus. And then we see Mary's told that this king will reign forever. You know, the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, she had 15 prime ministers during her reign. And she outlasted almost all of them. But Jesus, this king, Mary's told, is going to outlast any monarch, any prime minister, any US president. This king's never going to be stood down for corruption. He's going to have a perfect rule, a perfect reign forever and ever. And Mary hears all this and she's thinking to herself, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never had sex. Now, sometimes as modern readers, we read this and we go, oh, of course Mary would believe something like that from the angels. Because back then they weren't as educated as we are today. They were much more gullible. No one would believe the Christmas story in 2024. But Mary is just as shocked as you and I. She says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? In verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. The angel says, yeah, it is impossible. It is impossible for a virgin to become pregnant, but God is the God of the impossible. And all those promises in the Old Testament of this perfect king, God is fulfilling them. And there's no way anyone can claim that this is done by a human. All the glory is going to go to God because he is the one who's done it. I want you to see how Mary responds. Oh, it's a great response for you and me today. Verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary could have said, yeah, right. I don't believe you. Get me a pregnancy test. I want proof. Mary could have said, I must be dreaming. There's no way this kind of thing happens. Or she could have said, no thanks. Because after all, for a woman to have a baby out of wedlock in that culture would have been a huge scandal, public shame. She would lose her marriage or her engagement. She would be ostracized. And so she could very well have said, thanks, but no thanks. Find someone else. But what does she say? She says, God, I'm your servant. If this is your will, I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. Not my will, but yours. I am your servant. I wonder if you've ever said something like this to God. God, I want to follow you, whatever it takes, whatever the cost. I'm guessing Mary still had a lot of questions. I'm guessing she still had a bunch of questions. What does this mean? How's it going to work? What's the timings? But the question she had didn't stop her from moving forward with trust. See, if you're here this morning and you're thinking about becoming a Christian, if you wait to have every single question answered and every single doubt resolved before you become a Christian, it'll never happen. Instead, I want to encourage you, make sure you get answers to your questions and express your doubts and investigate. But if you're at the stage where you're ready to trust Jesus, you may still have more questions and uncertainties. But that's okay. You can still move forward with Jesus. I'm sure Mary had questions. But she believed God could do the impossible. And I want to say this morning that we've got to remember this amazing example of Mary. You know, Christians today, I think, make two mistakes when it comes to Mary. And they're both opposites. The first mistake Christians often make today is they focus too much on Mary. They focus too much on Mary. For those of you who may know, in the Catholic Church, Mary is given a huge amount of focus. She's prayed to. They say the Hail Mary. In many of the official documents, she's regarded as sinless, never sinned. But none of these are in the Bible. We're never told to pray to Mary. We're never told to worship or hail Mary. We worship Jesus. And in fact, Mary herself worships Jesus. And Mary isn't sinless. The Bible says there's only one person who's never sinned, and that's Jesus. And we see later in her song, she calls God her Savior. So if she needs saving, the question is, what does she need saving from? It's her sin. She's a sinner like you and me. And when it says that Mary's been highly favored, it's not because of anything in herself. It's not like the grace is not from who she is. It's the grace from God that God has shown to her, God's undeserved kindness. And so as Christians today, if we want grace, we don't pray to Mary for her grace. We pray to God for his grace because he's the one that gave the grace to Mary. Does that make sense? So that's the first mistake, I think, focusing too much on Mary. But I reckon in our church, we have the opposite mistake, focusing too little on Mary. Perhaps out of fear of not going the way of the Catholics, we forget and focus too little on this amazing woman of God. I mean, this is a woman who was probably given the most important task a woman or any human has ever been given, to carry the Son of God in her womb. This woman is highly favored and blessed. And she shows incredible courage and incredible trust as she follows God. Church, it is only right that we celebrate Mary, that we remember Mary, that we honor Mary, and learn from this incredible woman of God. So that's the first joyful thing we see. Mary, her joyful trust. What a great example for you and I to trust God with great courage, whatever the cost. Here's the second joyful thing we see in this passage. It's the joyful leaping. It's the joyful leaping. Have a look at verse 39. I'll read it for you. Verse 39. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. When a pregnant mother feels their baby kick for the first time, it's always an exciting experience. And Elizabeth is there. She's Mary's cousin. And she feels John, her baby, kick, not just kick, leap. John is, that baby in her womb is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is leaping in her womb out of joy because Mary, the mother of Jesus, has entered the home and Jesus is coming. John is one of the last prophets, or the last prophet, pointing the way to Jesus. That's his job, telling people, Jesus is coming, the King is coming. He's the last of all the Old Testament prophets pointing to Jesus. So in a way, you can imagine all the Old Testament prophets leaping for joy. He's here. God has come to save us. Elizabeth herself, she's overjoyed. She's the first person to call Jesus her Lord. The very first person to call Jesus Lord, it's Elizabeth. It's a scene of great joy, leaping and celebration. We've got to ask ourselves, do we jump for joy at the news of Christmas? Do we leap for joy at the news of God coming to be with us and to save us? Before we move on, though, I think it's important to just ponder in this passage the great dignity and value that God places on pregnancy and childbirth. We live in a culture where I think pregnancy and childbirth is becoming less valued, it seems, almost each year. But God in the Bible places great value on pregnancy and childbirth. It is a dignified and a precious thing to Him. That's not the only valuable thing. The Bible highly values singleness. Highly values singleness. And of course, there are people in our church family who long to be pregnant and cannot. And God loves those people. They are no less valued, no less dignified. But in passages like this, we do see that pregnancy and childbirth matters to God. Jesus could have just appeared on earth out of thin air, couldn't he? He could have just appeared out of thin air, but instead he appears in a womb. Could anything else give such dignity to pregnancy and childbirth? It's also important to notice the value on unborn children in this passage. There you have two unborn babies, Jesus, John at that point, 6 months in the womb. Clearly described as, John is described as having feeling and joy and emotions. John is described not with scientific words like fetus, he's described as a human. There is life there. And we've got to keep coming back to the value God places on the unborn as well. And it may be countercultural, but as Christians, we've got to keep affirming that. So there we have Mary, joyful trust in God's plan. We've got Elizabeth and John, joyful, leaping at the first Christmas. And lastly, we have joyful singing. We have joyful singing. You know when you're watching a musical and something really significant has happened in the plot, and the way that the audience ponders the significance of it is the main character comes and sings a song, sings a solo. And it's almost like that's the moment where, as the audience, you're just stopping and reflecting on what's happened and processing it and feeling the gravity of it. And that's pretty much what's happening with Mary. This incredible announcement's just been made. She's heard this incredible news. And Mary comes to the front of the stage and she sings a song. Mary's song. It's similar to Hannah's song in the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. Mary probably knew that song and adapted part of it. Let's look at the song she sings. She says, verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." That word glorifies could mean magnifies. And when we use a magnifying glass today, it's to make small things bigger. That's not what Mary means. She's not saying God's small and I've got to make him look bigger. She's saying, God, you're great and majestic. You've done great things. I want in my soul to grasp how incredible you are and to praise you and worship you. God, in my heart, in my soul, I want to magnify and praise you. My spirit rejoices in you, God, my Savior. What a great song for us to sing. And then she says why she's praising God. Verse 48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." I wonder if you've ever thought of how God is mindful of you. You may feel like no one notices you or no one cares about you. You may feel like God has enough other things on his plate, but he is mindful of you. He loves you. He knows you by name. He made you. He's mindful of you. And he's been mindful of Mary. She says, God, you've been mindful of me even in my humble state. God, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody, God. I'm a 14-year-old girl. I'm in a peasant town. Why me? I mean, Jesus could have been born to a rich woman in the palace. But he's born to a peasant girl. Why me? I'm a nobody. But this is God's crazy grace, isn't it? He reverses all expectations. He's not going to do it through the human way, because he's going to be the one that gets all the glory. It's not about status. It's not about pride. It's not about success. God does things entirely differently. Throughout Mary's song, there's this theme of reversal. She sings about the proud who get scattered, the rulers who get brought down, the hungry who are left, the rich who are left empty. And then she sings about the humble who are lifted up, the hungry that are filled. See the reversed theme. Because here's the thing, when you've got everything going for you, when you're rich, when you're successful, when you're healthy, when you're good looking, when you're doing well in your job, it's so easy to forget about Jesus, isn't it? It's so easy to forget about God. It's so easy to think you've got it all on your own. But it's when you are humbled. It's when you realize you've got nothing. That it's so much easier to recognize who Jesus is. As a warning for us here in a wealthy city, people in this room who life is going well for you, I know not for everybody, but as a warning, when life is going well, that we become proud and self-sufficient and we forget that we are in desperate need of God. We are in desperate need of someone to forgive us for our sins, and that is Jesus. Mary knows that. She knows her humble state. She knows that it's all God. And here's what's incredible. Jesus humbled himself to be born in a lowly manger, an animal feeding trough at Christmas. And then he suffered a disgraceful, humiliating death on the cross for you, to save you. The ultimate humiliation. And if you trust in Jesus and humble yourself and recognize you need forgiveness, you need Jesus, God will rescue you and save you and lift you up. So friends, this is a song we can sing. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. He has done great things for me. He has been mindful of you. He has saved you. When you were far off, he brought you near through the blood of his Son. This Christmas is all about joy. Joyful trust, like Mary, courageously trusting Jesus, God, and his promises. Joyful leaping, like John, leaping for joy that Christ the Savior has come. Joyful singing, like Mary, for God has done great things. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Amen.